The Office of Science and Technology Policy wants all agencies to be able to harness the power of crowdsourcing and citizen science. So it's designed and released the Federal Crowdsourcing and Citizen Science Toolkit to help them do just that. Jen Gustetic is the Assistant Director for Open Innovation at OSTP. She joins me now with more on the toolkit. Jen, great to have you on.
Good morning.
All right, so tell us what is in this toolkit, and what I guess I'm interested in what you mean by citizen science.
Yeah, sure, happy to. So the Federal Crowdsourcing and Citizen Science Toolkit was developed in response to a commitment that the United States made in the second Open Government National Action Plan. In that National Action Plan, President Obama called on federal agencies to harness the ingenuity of the public by accelerating and scaling the use of open innovation methods like citizen science and crowdsourcing to help address a wide range of scientific and societal problems. And recognizing that there had been lots of experimentation at agencies in the use of these types of tools over the last number of years, the plan also called on the federal government to develop an open innovation toolkit to help federal agencies learn from those pilot examples from the past so that as they were starting new projects, they wouldn't be reinventing the wheel every time. So this citizen science and crowdsourcing toolkit that was developed over the course of the last 9 months really sought to identify case studies, a step-by-step process approach, resources, and connectivity to existing communities of practice to enable folks across the federal government to be able to design better citizen science and crowdsourcing projects.
All right, so give us an example of the type of incident that's already happened that's in the toolkit that shows how crowdsourcing and citizen science can work.
That's a great question. So crowdsourcing and citizen science are really tools that enable the government to harness the ingenuity of the American public and the enthusiasm of volunteers across the country to both do things like collect and analyze data, as well as interpreting results, making new discoveries, and developing technologies and applications to help solve complex problems. So a couple really compelling examples of that. One from the science world is a project from NASA called Disk Detective that's run on the Zooniverse crowdsourcing platform. And that particular project has put a bunch of imagery from the Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer telescope up for volunteers, roughly 28,000 volunteers that have contributed to date, to make classifications of objects that they see in those images. There are so many images that it's very, very hard for algorithms to 100% be accurate in the classification of those images, and it's really hard for the PIs, the actual scientists that are getting funded to go through and look at that imagery, to go through it all by themselves. And so volunteers from around the world will go on and help to make classifications of this imagery. And so what does that mean, a classification? It's essentially helping folks identify protoplanetary disks in these images that are hard to distinguish from other things like galaxies and interstellar dust clouds and asteroids. And so the human eye is oftentimes much better at actually identifying those objects of interest than sometimes algorithms are. And this particular project, in just over a year, has made nearly 1.4 million classifications, and through this identified 600 brand new objects of interest that had not previously been identified through the kind of traditional ways of doing scientific research with this imagery. And as a result, that science team has made follow-up observations from a number of ground-based telescopes on more than 200 of those volunteer-identified objects, really increasing the science that we're able to get from government-funded research.
And so what is the process by which the agency that's trying to get this information can vet what it is that the 28,000 volunteers have said is in fact a galaxy and not an asteroid?
So that's a great question. And each project is designed in very unique ways. But in this particular one, the way that Zooniverse and those types of imagery classification projects will work is there actually has to be a statistically significant number of volunteers that make the same classification for it to trigger that classification is true. So they set up a rigorous process at the front end to ensure high data quality, not just in data collection projects, but also in data analysis analysis and processing projects. And that's one of the really important principles that Dr. Holdren, who's the head of the OSTP, the Office of Science and Technology Policy here at the White House, really accentuated in a new memo to the agencies that he issued on September 30th, encouraging more agencies to use tools like citizen science and crowdsourcing in the conduct of their scientific research and their missions. He really accentuated three principles in the importance of the design of projects: data quality, openness, and public participation in the way that they are designed. And so you're getting at the heart of one of the questions, Tom, to make sure that when projects are designed out the gate, the data quality and data quality assurance are two parts of a project design that are of critical importance. And the toolkit provides some best practices and some approaches to agencies to make sure that they're considering those important principles early.
We're speaking with Jen Gostetic. She's the Assistant Director for Open Innovation at the Office of Science and Technology Policy. So how could this apply? I can see where if you've got a huge amount of data, say, as gathered by a telescope, where you would crowdsource that and maybe everybody gets their little patch of sky to look at. But how could this work in a, I don't know, delivery of a health and human services type of benefit or, you know, some agency that's not involved in science?
Right. So great question. One of the ones that I find the most interesting that's very different from the scientific kind of research area is actually a crowdsourcing activity that was conducted by IARPA, which is the Intelligence Advanced Research Project Agency within the federal government. They actually used a crowdsourcing project to improve forecasting for a variety of geopolitical events, using crowdsourcing to improve forecasts for things like violent in international confrontations, to how long international leaders could potentially stay in power. The goal of this project, which was called the Aggregate Contingent Estimation Program, so the ACE program, the goal of it was to improve forecasting by more than 50% over the state of the art. But by the program's end, this good judgment project had actually beaten the state of art by more than 70%. So in this particular case, they were using the wisdom of the crowd to actually improve the accuracy of prediction of future events.
All right. So how will this toolkit get out to agencies? Is it are you sending it around, or how can an agency get a hold of it and see what's in it?
It's a great question. It's live on the web at crowdsourcing-toolkit.sites.usa.gov. It's open for any federal employee to use. And we're actually proactively through the federal community of practice on crowdsourcing and citizen science, which is an active grassroots community of folks across the federal government. More than 200 people now across more than 30 agencies are working within their own agencies in order to market the use of the toolkit to more federal employees, as well as this resource was one of the items that was pointed to in Dr. Holdren's memo on September 30th, encouraging agencies to effectively use these tools to really reference the case studies and the process steps in this toolkit so that they're not reinventing the wheel.
We should mention, too, that this is all in the context of a month of celebration that you've been having, looking at the whole issue of open innovation across government. And you've got a detailed blog post just a couple of days ago, you and Tom Khalil, on this. So tell us how that's gone and what you've looked at over the past few weeks.
Yeah, it's been a really, really exciting month for open innovation in government. On September 30th, we held an event on citizen science and crowdsourcing here at the White House to not only release this toolkit to the broad public and to the federal community, but also to announce the new memorandum that Dr. Holdren issued to the agencies to create even more momentum. It also spotlighted citizen science and crowdsourcing projects in the areas of personal health, oceans and coasts, pollinators, and a variety of different topic areas that are really of national importance. And so it was a great way to convene cross-sector leaders in the citizen science and crowdsourcing area to talk about how we might increase the ambition of what we can collectively achieve through citizen science and crowdsourcing. But the following week, we also celebrated the five-year anniversary of Challenge.gov. If you can believe, it's a five-year anniversary. For 5 years, the U.S. federal government has been really pushing the use of incentive prizes and challenges to to pay for performance and engage new communities in science and technology innovation throughout the government. And since the beginning of Challenge.gov 5 years ago, the federal government has done nearly 450 prizes amounting to more than $150 million, engaging over 200,000 citizen solvers from the country and solving a variety of really important national problems and getting solutions from corners that would have been hard to tap into otherwise. So that week, we celebrated all of the great success that the federal government has found and great learning that we found and done through prizes and challenges, as well as announcing 25 brand new public sector and private sector prizes to keep the momentum going into the future. So a very, very exciting month of demonstrating past success for where open innovation has really allowed the government to transform the way that it's able to work with the public in meaningful ways to solve tough problems, but also really a wonderful month in catalyzing new momentum towards more ambitious use of these tools into the future.
I think one of the most interesting thing about these challenges is that they can solve problems that you really couldn't award a contract to do. It's a whole different channel of getting things done than standard hiring someone to do this, that, or the other.
Yeah, so the way that I talk about it a lot is that contracts are the typical way that the federal government can tap into companies from around the country in order to solve specific problems and deliver specific services that the government needs. And grants are a great way for us to partner and work with academics from across and small businesses from across the country in order to get work done. But all of those are organizationally based. You have to be a company or an organization that knows how to do business with the government in order to work through those channels. The beauty of prizes and challenges is that they're open to individuals from around the country, people that might not have any familiarity with how to do business with and follow the processes of doing business with the federal government, because it's about the best ideas and the best solutions and not about people understanding kind of the insider processes to work with the federal government. So they really do unlock whole new classes of and channels for engaging people and solving a variety of different problems that traditional government tools don't easily and readily allow you to tap into.
And a real fast question. You mentioned pollinators just a moment ago. Has the crowdsourcing technique helped with the issue of bee colony collapsing that's been really an agricultural problem across the nation?
So that was certainly one of the things that was talked about at the afternoon workshop and the morning forum, Citizen Science Forum, September 30th, was how citizen science and crowdsourcing, both from a data collection, data analysis, and research question side, could help with that particular problem area. So that's one that we are doing a lot of thinking about.
All right. We speak for the bees. Jen Gostetic is the Assistant Director for Open Innovation at the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.